Welcome back to the Campfire Talks podcast, where we sit together as a camp family to discuss topics that will strengthen your walk with Christ. My name's Nick.
My name's Tina.
I'm Danae.
I'm Cecilia.
Welcome back. I believe we're continuing on our journey through the summer sessions that we did almost a year ago. We're going to kick it off with a little game.
Actually, it was divine timing. Because we're talking about the resurrection. We're about to come up to Easter. I think
it
was supposed to come like this.
It was the Lord. All right. So I have a little game, and I have a feeling Nick is going to dominate this one. Feel free to play along at home if you're listening to this. All right. So I'm going to say a year, and whoever can name the camp summer theme.
Oh, yeah.
Quick. Okay. Gets imaginary points. Okay.
Wait, why don't I do the year? Can you play? Because you know this way better than I do.
She just took away Cecilia.
No!
She
You're so good at
this. I like this. Danae, turn the tables.
Because someone needs to be able to... Well, your mom is really good, too. But
no,
you guys need to be able to compete against me. Daddy's
the best. Go ahead.
Yeah, Nick's the best. Okay.
No dead air time, people.
All right.
Chop, chop.
Okay, good. Okay. 2003.
Putting pieces together, fear factor.
What?
Fear God factor.
He's right. Fear God
factor! That's when we had all the rubber spiders.
Van.
And stuff,
right? Yeah. Oh, when we did, like, the plagues?
I think so much slower.
You guys were so cool little Bible kids.
We were adorable.
All right, 2016.
Go there, Sims. Go there, Sims.
Oh, good job.
Yes.
Good job, Cecilia.
Nice.
2005.
Incredible.
Tina had it very good.
I saw the logo.
I went, blah, blah, blah.
Molly still has that sweatshirt.
The Incredibles. I loved that one. And Heather Fouquet at the Turner Wish Fouquet at the time designed that logo. She did such a good job.
So awesome.
1999.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
Agape Mystery.
No, that was 98. 99. Was that Pit to the Palace?
95. Could be. Yeah. Yeah, let's say yes, because Dad did not hit a check. Yeah! Pit to the Palace.
We all looked at Tina for 99.
I like that. We went way back because you were only a year old.
Which one was Toy Story? That was a cool one.
That right about 2000, I believe. Right about
there.
Anyway, okay. I hope the people listening.
Two more.
Oh,
jeez.
2017.
We're near heroes.
Huh?
Oh, no, superheroes.
That wasn't Ordinary Heroes.
Ordinary Heroes was 2000.
Yeah, I know, but there's a name for it.
Because the Britain.
The Sun Sets You Free is the verse, but...
Live Free.
I didn't even know what the name for that was. I just knew it was superheroes.
You know what that always reminds me of? That name always reminds me of a dog sanctuary in Idlewild.
You know what is what summer is like totally slept on? Is the... what is it? 15 when we did the...
Darkness Light.
Yeah, because those skits were pretty lame.
You know what? The depth of that theme, though, I remember that being a really heavy year. We got into some real darkness, and then the contrast of Christ's light was so huge.
Yeah, it was a really
heavy year. Apparently, Cecilia.
Well, coming off of 2014, the Sherlock year. come on, Nick. Come on. After 14, the skits were scripted. Say 2014.
2007.
Oh,
Treasure Island. House on the Rock. Oh, was it Treasure Island?
Yeah, no, that was 05, I believe.
That was 06.
06. Nick, you rock this. But Treasure Island.
You're not as good with the late, newer ones. You're better in the late, later ones.
Wow, I'm so impressed. I'm too busy raising kids to remember these things. I lived it once. I can't remember it.
If she would have done well, we wouldn't have brought that up.
Well, we have to have an excuse. So, I know we only have a short time for our podcast here. Are we moving on?
Yep.
So I believe I'm going to quiz you guys. That was a very good game, Cecilia. And Danae for running it. Thank you. This was the fourth of our day camp series. And let's just do a quick recap. And someone's going to have to help me because believe I did Jesus. Tony and I did that one over last summer. And it was when he's called out. So Jesus calls, right?
Yeah.
And day two?
It was when Jesus calms the storm.
Nice.
That's what it was called.
Yeah. And I did Jesus Heals.
And so now we're ending the series with Jesus Saves. And the cool part was we really focused on Jesus stories. Like, why else are we at camp except to talk about Jesus? And so in John 11, it's all about Jesus. John 11, we're going to read a little bit. And it is a little lengthy on the story of Lazarus because it takes up almost the entire chapter. We're going to skip verses 14 and 15. I was just trying to find some things to cut out of it. That kind of goes a little segue. And it goes to 44. So I think, let's try it. There are four of us. Should we try it or should I just summarize it? We did decide this.
I can read. Yeah,
okay, we'll read. I'll start and then we'll go this way.
How many verses?
It's like 10.
Each?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So read kind of fast. So John 10, or 11, I'm sorry, verse 1, for those of you listening at home. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now let's skip 8 through 13 and go on to 14.
Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Then we continue on to 17.
Go ahead. 15 also.
Oh. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had not been here, or if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you.
Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying, secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled.
And said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go.
You know, this is one of those stories that as you read this, it almost needs no commentary. Like, the words are so powerful, and you almost feel like you're there. You know, it talks about the stench of a man laid dead for days. Ooh. It talks about...
Hopefully you guys don't know that's like...
Yeah. It talks about, bad. Like, you know, the emotion, those comforting at the house. If you've ever been a house of grief or sadness or death, you can feel the heaviness and the people weeping. And, I mean, it was so visual to me how it's described. Jesus weeping, if you want the easiest verse to memorize. Jesus wept. And then the part that we kind of didn't read was the disciples, most specifically Thomas, being very upset about returning because there was threats of Jesus being stoned. So you can feel all these tensions in this story. And it's the beauty is you get the humanity of Jesus. He knew death. He knew the pain of death. He knew how to comfort us in death. He knew that the world and the people in it were never meant for death. And so he had to make a way to heal, to console, to save. And so that's what today's thing is about. It's so powerful, really. And of course, I don't need to recap it because we just read it, but how awesome it is that Jesus was actually really close to these people. I mean, when you think about Mary being the one who wept at his feet, using your hair to, like, anoint his feet, man, he loved these people. And so we kind of see them come up here and there, but Lazarus was a close friend, and it said, the one you love is sick. I thought, gosh, how cool to be referred to as the one Jesus loves. But the resurrection is the root of Christianity, right? In fact, somewhere, I believe it's in Corinthians, it talks about that if the resurrection is a lie, then we are the saddest fools of them all. Right? Our entire Christianity is based on the hope, the reality, the truth of the resurrection, and the power of God's ability to resurrect and save us from our sins and thwart eternal death for us. So, heading up into Easter, we're actually in Lent season right now, if you look at the liturgical calendar, this is the time where we're supposed to be pondering, right, what Jesus did for us on the cross. But I wonder for each of us, when did the reality of the resurrection first really strike you? And, you know, I'm now 50 years old, so it has struck me at different times in my life, but I do have, like, two very poignant memories where I was like, whoa, I get it. One, I know the severity of my sin. Actually, I'll share first to give you guys time for a second, because at 19, I went to a woman's retreat with my mom. I was saved in the Catholic Church. I always looked up at the crucifix, a grand, huge crucifix in the Catholic Church. And so I got the reality of that Savior on the cross. Christians of most denominations now don't put Jesus on a crucifix because he's not there anymore, right? But the Catholic Church did. And so you saw the crown of thorns, you saw the blood dripping down his face. And that's what I looked at as a small child. But even with all that, I was probably 19 years old, went to a woman's retreat. We were in worship. And it was the first time that I realized why the cross was so necessary. The hugeness of my sins needed to be paid for. And I couldn't believe it. It hit me like a ton of bricks and I wept. But then years later, when I was at the cemetery with my brother and we were trying to find the proper burial site for my nephew, who was only 3, I experienced why death was so heavy and so bad and so horrific that we needed a Savior and the resurrection. And I had never realized until that day. I came home to your guys' daddy, and I, just weeping, said, the resurrection has never meant so much to me as it does today. Because I needed the hope that my brother would see his son again. I needed the hope that David was not just a body in the ground, but that his spirit was still alive. So those are two big ones for me on when the resurrection had full impact. Anyone else?
Well, I'd said earlier that... 1 year, Dad, it was Good Friday, which is when, you know, we remember Jesus being crucified. And so he had us all, like, go to our rooms separately for, I don't remember how long it was, to, like, really ponder that and think of the reality of what Jesus did for us. And at first, you know, like, when you're little, you don't like stuff like that, but it really was cool to, like, man, all I can do right now is think about, like, the weight of, like, what Jesus knowingly endured, you know, for the sins that I committed, you know, because he knew what was going to happen, which I think makes it worse, you know. And you know, theoretically, he had the choice not to, but he did it anyways. And I think also the first time I saw the movie The Passion, if you ever saw The Passion of the Christ, it's brutal, but rightly so, because that's how it happened. And when you see that, it's like, man, like, my sins, you know, put him there. And even worse, you know, sometimes we still, a lot of times, take it for granted, because, you know, we say Jesus died for my sins, kind of like we say, like, LMNOP, you know, like, it's just like, oh, like, you don't put any thought into it. Like, you say, Jesus died for my sins, you know, hallelujah. But when you really think of it, it's a really heavy thing that, you know, it would do us all good to probably think about more than just Easter.
Amen.
Yeah. So too. Yeah, absolutely. I think the first, we used to watch this movie, and we still do, The Easter Promise. Oh, yeah. It's like this little animated kids movie about the Easter story. Oh, and Miracle, which one, the Miracle Worker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Miracle Maker.
Miracle Maker, yeah. Just like those little kid movies that we watched growing up, and it shows really the crucifixion. I actually remember, I think, like, getting super, like, okay, in the Easter Promise, like, it shows it, he gets crucified and everything, and then it's all sad. But then when, like, he resurrects, and, like, they sing the song, like, come on, everybody, it's time to celebrate. I remember, like, tearing up when I was younger, but, and actually, even, like, last year, it was, like, just the joy, and they put it in, and how important it is. But then, like how you, Mom, how you said, like multiple times during your life, you like, which is good because we get like reconvicted, regrateful, and we need that. But was reading that, the Case for Christ book. Oh my gosh.
I didn't see that in the movie.
I didn't see the movie, but in the book he talks like about to the, like, what is it? Like some coroner examiner or something, and how like he, like, he was absolutely dead. And then he talked about how important it was, that it was truth that he was resurrected, because like the one who was like the doctor who was saying it was like, it has to be true. And he's like, I totally believe it's true. And that's his hope, because his wife died. And he hoped he could see his, like, he knew he could see his wife again, because Jesus defeated, like, conquered death and conquered the grave. And so, like, he could do that for everyone.
It's cool. It's not like a wishful hope. Like, it's a, it's an assured hope.
Yeah, an assured hope. Yeah, I feel like there's, like, gotta be, like, a better word for that. I don't know.
Blessed assurance.
There you go.
Sounds like a hymn. Which it is.
I remember, like, being at my grandpa's funeral when I was little, and I just still remember, I, like, did, like, a poem when I was, he was there, and it was like, he died when I was only 7, but he's in heaven, or something like that. And, like, I, like, shared at least, yeah, I know. I, like, shared at, like, that's how I always remember that he died when I was 7, because I just remember that poem.
That's so cute.
Yeah, kind of funny. So, like, kind of just thinking back to that of, like, it was, I'm grateful that ever since I was little, like, I had that, like, hope and that promise of, like, he died, but he loved Jesus, so I knew he was going to be in heaven. But it's kind of funny, I think, like, hearing you and Nick talk, about, like, movies. I think movies has done, like, a lot for us. Like, when we were kids, I think a lot of movies came out, like, Son of God, and then eventually The Passion, or Passion was maybe first.
Way before.
But I think of it later, because I probably watched Son of God first. And, like, I think you have to be in the really right, like, The Passion is not something I would be, like, ready to watch every year. It's, like, so intense and heavy. But I think each time I've seen, like, in today's age, there are some really good movies, or, like, the kid ones Cecilia was talking about that really, like, depict that. And sometimes when you have that visual in some way, it makes it, like, things seem real every time you watch it.
And I think it's devoting the time, and even the solitude and the sobriety of the matter kind of hits when we have that quietness.
It always hits me at Christmas time, too. At Christmas, I always get really emotional about the resurrection and, like, the importance. I don't know.
Is it because of the contrast, the beauty and the vulnerability of a baby? I was really struck by that, that we look at a baby at Christmas and they're vulnerable and precious. But at Easter, you look at the full-grown man and you realize what he would endure for our sake.
Yeah, I think that song, is it What Child Is This? And then, like,
so, it's an interesting thing, as you guys were talking, I was really struck by, now as we've lived longer and we see more people who have passed, like Papa Darvin, deal with cancer and the struggle and the pain and the horrificness of death, and watching my grandma die, it's ugly. There's no way around it. I remember in the grief thinking, this is wretched. Like, please, in your mercy, stop it, Lord. It is so bad. And the stench that it talks about in Scripture, it is ugly. We were not meant for death. The enemy would kill, steal, and destroy. And it is horrific. And once you witness that, or you felt the grief of it, you realize how important the resurrection is. It always amazes me in this day and age that people glorify death. You know, they put skulls on things. There's a darkness. There's a glorification. And I just think, have you ever witnessed death? And if so, why in the world would you want to glorify that?
I know.
Why would you want it on your body? Why would you want to wear it? Why would you want to? I get the cross is actually a symbol of torture. And yet we wear it because we realize it is a symbol of hope and eternal.
The cross
life.
Identifies conquering Christ, death, but death doesn't identify with Christ.
Death has no identification with Christ.
Come on. That was good.
Yeah. So the beauty of it is, as he says in 11:4, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus knew that, you know, this particular situation, he let Lazarus die. The sisters came and said, if you were here sooner, it says, he wouldn't have died. And in 11:14-15, it says, Lazarus is dead, Jesus said. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Now, he means physically not there. In that moment, he had not arrived. But the Spirit of God, for our sake, after Pentecost, the Spirit's within us and never leaves us. God has always been there, even in the worst of times, even in the best of times. He is always there. So he didn't mean he wasn't there. I mean, the Spirit of God was there, but he was not there to save him on purpose. It was for their sake. So he was glad that it provided the opportunity to mature their faith and teach them about his resurrection power. You know, God cares so much about our maturity, our spiritual maturity, our faith in him, our trust in him, refining that faith. So much that he would temporarily allow huge pain for our better growth. So the next question for you guys is, how has waiting upon the Lord in a trial increased your faith?
You want me to start with this one, Nick?
Yeah.
I was just thinking back to when I was in a senior, and I was graduating early, actually. And so I had, like, up until that time, I totally, like, given everything to the Lord, so I'm going to trust you with my future. I know that decision, when we think senior, I guess I think of like, oh, you have a lot of decisions coming up, right? Like, what's going to happen next? And so I was at peace. I was like, no, I'm going to just trust him whatever God has for me. And then, like, as I was saying, oh, it's just a waiting period. I'm just waiting for him. And as, like, the months kind of went on and I felt like he didn't answer, I kind of got stressed out and freaked out. And without thinking about it, I just started trying to make my own plans and trying to, like, cram things and push things through. And I wanted to go to Biola, or I wanted to go to Africa, or I wanted to go to these different places. Egypt. That wasn't just yet, but almost. And then just like there was a different trips opening up for Africa, actually. And I was really bummed when those doors closed, and I was really upset. And then I'm like, why am I so stressed? I've never been this stressed in my life. And I realized, man, I just took back something I had fully given to God. Like, I took it back in my control. And obviously it wasn't working. And so, that was, like, realizing, no, I have to, like, actually wait on the Lord and not take it back when I don't hear his answer right away. And so that day, I remember fully just surrendering again and living in that peace again. And within a few weeks, I think Tina called and asked if I wanted to be on staff that summer at camp. And then it made sense why, like, the trip to Africa didn't work out and, like, all these different things that, like, were closed. And, well, here I am now. Like, that was totally God, like, directing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the first step, I think, in him really directing, like, where I would end up for quite a while. So, yeah.
Wait, I had one, and waiting then you gave me a better one.
Oh, you were talking about, college years, too. But just, like, the college itself was, like, waiting on the Lord.
I need the second room. So, mine was probably, I went to college for a while, finished.
Summa cum laude.
Magna. Is it
magna? Magna cum laude.
I should know.
She has all these fancy ribbons.
But yeah, college felt like it was forever, and oh my gosh, it was so hard. I made a promise to God to go into school, like, to finish school diligently. There's a verse in Deuteronomy, and then that says, like, if you make a vow unto the Lord, do not delay to repay it, for in due time he'll require it of you. And so, like, I held on to that and absolutely, you know, finished it, and it felt so good when I finished. But it was really difficult, because it was, like, what, 5 years that I was really, all of my time was in school. And camp has always been my heart, and, you know, it's where my family is and where everything is really good, and it would drive me crazy sometimes, like, to major tears that I couldn't be, you know, doing everything with camp and, like, my whole heart being there and, like, having new visions and pushing things through. I was wrecked. I finished it, and God was so good and blessed me with finishing, like, with being faithful in that. He blessed me, like, at the very end with really good friends who were really like-minded, and with experiences that I'll never forget, and different witnessing opportunities where I just had a whole nother, like field, and it was really cool. And even though I'm not using my degree for anything, like most college kids, it was still really
about that in another season. It's still you there. You are using
really a blessing. And what was the question? And so in that time I was waiting a whole lot. I felt like that time would never end, and I was, like, diligently waiting because God kept reassuring me, like, this is good, and, like, when you make a promise, like, he'll use it of you. And God was just all the time showing me how it was worth it, you know, not pushing my, not taking myself out of school because it was like taking too long. I just come back to camp, but
makes a good point. Sometimes in the waiting, we're also doing, we're
still serving. Yeah.
We're still serving in the process.
Yeah, so many times you think of waiting as like, you're just sitting on your hands, just like waiting.
Oh, but not at all.
No, but like either you're knocking on doors and trying to pursue opportunities, or like what Cecilia is doing, you're like working your butt off and like, but still waiting on how is God going to show that he's still good despite this? And how is God going to still like, show that he wants, like, what my heart desires is still, like, something he wants to give me.
Because school wasn't exactly my heart's desire.
Okay, so, sorry, Nick, I think we might have ditched you on that one. I don't know if we started already, but I'm going to cut to the chase. By the way, a good verse for that is from Romans, when it says that God works together for good.
Those who have been called according to his purpose.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I was going to say, there's a verse from 1 Corinthians 15:55 that says, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And I remember my brother citing that to me, and I'm thinking, this stings. What are you talking about? This death is a sting. There seems victory right now. Your son's dead. You know, it felt like we were weeping. It's like, no, it did win. My brother was right to quote that verse. The sting is sin and death. And for a Christian, and here comes the gospel right here. I mean, for a Christian, we die once in the physical body. We will all die in the physical body unless the Lord raptures us with hallelujah. I hope that happens soon. But we all die here, but there is not a second death. So Lazarus would be raised from the dead, but eventually Lazarus would die again. But we know that Lazarus, because of Scripture, is with Jesus right now, right? So everyone who was healed in the body and in here in this life, even when Jesus did something great, as Daddy always says, and church, he says, but those people would eventually die. So we needed the ultimate healing, which is the gospel message that Christ died for our sins. If we just receive that gift, say, come into my heart, please forgive me of my sins, be Lord of my life, and we can look forward to eternity with him. So my last closing thing, we only have a few moments. If we could be succinct in our answers, with our eyes set on eternity, this being a pilgrimage, right? We're just passing through. With our eyes set on heaven with the Lord, and we do have that blessed assurance because we've received him as our Savior, we can be confident that we'll be with him forever. How does the knowledge of that change you in the everyday?
I love Lazarus's story because it totally shows the perspective that we should have. Because to us, dying is like the, you know, it's the end all, it's the worst thing that can happen. But what Jesus showed is he let Lazarus die. So he could like show people his power and provide like a really cool picture of like the power he has over death. But Lazarus died again, of course. That wasn't a permanent fix. And sometimes I look at it and say, man, poor guy had to like, he had to die two times physically, you know. But we hold our own safety and, you know, like
security.
Yeah, our security in such like, in such a closed fist that really we can look at it. We should try to be more like a Lazarus. We're like, God kind of used him in a way that I don't really think I'd want to die twice. But our lives are so small here. And so we should be willing to be used by God in any capacity, knowing that even though we don't see the plan, he's using it for something way greater than we could ever do ourselves.
You know? I love that. Amen. How does the knowledge of eternity change your everyday?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go first.
Man, I think it just, like, I can't imagine not living, like, without, like, hope like that. Like, just to know that there's a real reason why we're here on this earth. I think sometimes we'll see people who are just really lost or, like, don't really have a direction or really, like, questioning, like, what's our purpose? And I think just knowing, like, no, like, we've been put on this earth for a reason, to share the gospel and share about Jesus so that we can live with him forever. And to know, like, our bodies and, like, we have a soul, an eternal soul. I think it gives you a lot of peace also knowing, like, we have, I think that biggest question that, like, is in man of, like, who am I? Why was I created? What is my purpose? Like, which is in all of us, like, knowing that there's an answer for that, I think is really huge and a purpose.
Similar to Danae, it's purpose to me, knowing that there's heaven, and that it just convicts me to be a better witness because it just reminds me of my purpose here to glorify God and to, like, further his kingdom. And Yeah. We're short for time. Sorry.
Well, we are. But there's a really cool verse that I kind of live on from Proverbs that says, "Blessed is the man who puts his hope and trust in the Lord, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." We're just passing through. And we will be blessed if we trust and hope in him alone.
And a lot less stressed, right?
Watch Pilgrim's Progress.
A good one, too.
Yeah. Awesome.
I said on eternity, may this Easter season be your best one yet as you spend time thinking about death and resurrection of Christ.
Definitely.
The title for this one should be, what does summer 2020 have to do with Easter?
I like that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Resurrection Day.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.